love me, first love yourself. For that, and God we trust, trust me, I don't trust myself. Your jewelry, I get it to no show.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, aka Stat Baby, along with your hosts, Mace and Cam.
Killer, what's good, man?
Ain't shit. How you, bro? What's the word? Everything good?
I'm chilling, man. Yeah. Yeah, this weekend was crazy, man. I'm glad back. I'm glad we're back. It's been some crazy games.
Back from where, Mace?
Huh?
Back from where?
I mean, back from where I was at.
That's what I'm asking. I didn't know where we were back from.
Hey, I can't speak for everybody, you know?
I was just wondering because I seen you yesterday. I didn't know. You move fast, though. You move really fast, man.
Yeah, I had to go and come back.
All right. Stat, you're in Arizona, man. How was the game last night live, man?
The game? Okay, well, I'm not going to say it was good because it started out good, right? And it was very close at the beginning. And then it's just like we just saw a decline as the game kept going. I'm not going to say Purdue gave up because I don't think that's what happened, but the energy was definitely lost on their side. Like, even as far as the fans, like, it was interesting because Purdue had a lot of fans there, and especially in the student section, who were, like, you know, all dressed out, just excited. But UConn actually had a lot less fans. But maybe it's just because people are just used to this. They know that that's how it's supposed to be, because very different energies. But it just didn't even seem like Purdue had a chance as the game kept going. Sad to say, but it is what it is.
Well, yeah, shout out to Dan Hurley, because that's a sign of a good coach. I mean, he made adjustments and did things that turn the game around. I know Maurice would love to hear that.
Yeah, shout out to Underdog Fantasy too. They had made sure that we was able to get to the NCAA women's games, the men's games. They really panned it out for us this weekend. Sorry everything ain't work out the way it's supposed to, but big shout out to Underdog Fantasy, man.
Yeah, Underdog took great care of everybody. And Maurice was there too. He was real hype, so it was good to see him as well. But yeah.
Did the nigga have on UConn gear? Was he
he had it simple though. He had on like a polo with like the symbol.
He was flued out, you know, he was flued out.
Maurice wore the staff shirt. The polo staff joint. Nigga went staff on them niggas. I respect that. I like that though.
He did. That's what you think, you corporate.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to get our it is what it is polos for niggas to wear.
Yeah, I got a few samples. I gotta get them made, definitely. It's a lot of stuff we need to get
for
made.
Niggas who think they experts, you know, if you're an expert in sports, you need a it is what it is polo. Thanks. And don't wear it if you don't know what you're talking about, because we don't need that kind of fanfare, you know. But this game, it looked like it got out of hand. It looked like it got out of hand in the second half. Second half, it seemed like a whole different team, you know?
Yeah, so let's talk about it. I'm going to just pose a question y'all can discuss. So, obviously, UConn beat Purdue 75-60, becoming the first team to repeat in 17 years. They're 6-0 in national championship games. How'd you guys feel about the game? How'd you guys feel about UConn repeating? How do you feel about the atmosphere, all of those things?
To start off, it just seemed like Dan Hurley understands something totally different than everybody else in college basketball. It seemed like with the NILs that people weren't able to get the best talent to come play with them over and over. And it seemed like he's figured something out, whether it's through Kamani. Yo, Killer, you remember Kamani from back in the days?
I remember that name. I remember the name. I can't put a face to the name at the moment.
If you see his face, you'll remember him. Um, he he's actually up there with UConn, so they got all of the people like that up there. They doing a great job up there. So it's kind of like New York in the house. So it kind of makes sense that they went back to back when I saw that. I said, oh yeah, he got the right people up there with Dan Hurley, and he got Maurice up there. So it give a lot of the kids, you know, that guidance that they need to be tough-nosed basketball players, as well as, you know, be really tough about the things outside the game. So creating that mental toughness, because this is something, that back-to-back championship is something we haven't seen in a long time. I know it was 2007, but before that, I don't even remember when was the last time that somebody went back-to-back, especially in college basketball. But I like to see Zach did his thing. Zach, you know, he played pretty cool, but the UConn just look like they understand something different. I wouldn't be surprised if they come back next year and be good again. I don't know if they're three-peat, but if they three-peat in college, it might be crazy. It seemed like all the energy has shifted from the girls to the boys' basketball, and they're back being a UConn of old.
I wouldn't say that. They had a good night. I don't think they fucking with the girls, but they had a good night last night. I was way, way more interested in the girls. Even Sunday, I was way more interested in the girls, for me personally. Because the girls had storylines. It was storyline after storyline after storyline. UConn, to me, was predicted. And not to me. Like, when the season started this year, and I know I haven't been on top of college men's basketball as much as we've been on everything else, or at least I haven't. I can't speak for Mace. As much as I was on women's, it was a great night for men's basketball. It was good, but if I had to compare it to women's, absolutely not. Just me personally, it was a good night of men's basketball, because I said this before, they're not focusing on players in the men's basketball like they used to. You know, they figure in the NCAA, to me, I don't know this for a fact, it seemed like they're stubborn, and they wanted them, ex-boyfriends or baby daddies that they baby moms got a new nigga. I'm like, nah, go get money from that nigga. And the new nigga is the NIL. It's like, nah, you don't need us. Remember?
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, live your life.
Go with your new nigga. Go get some money from him. Since that's your name, we don't need to promote you. Yeah. And to be honest with you, I probably couldn't name 10 basketball players. And I'm just being honest. You know, I could sit here and Google shit, act like I know a bunch of shit, but I can't name you 8-9 niggas in college basketball today. Because they're not advertising the players like they used to advertise the players. They're advertising the teams. Like, as much as we're talking about it, and I know we talked about Dawn Staley a lot, the main person we're talking about, Mace, even you said it, is Bob Hurley, which is fine, which is great. It's not a problem at all.
Yeah, Dan Hurley.
Pardon me. You know, I'm used to Kenny Anderson, Bob Hurley rivalry. I'm from that, a reporter. So... and it's nothing wrong with that, for the coach getting the recognition that he deserves. And like I said, I'm not sitting here saying that men's college basketball is not up to par, is not up to snuff. It's just that it's not getting the promotion that women's got, and especially with the storylines. Mace, back to what you were saying before, just to add on to what you were saying before, Florida did it. It was University of Kentucky did it, I believe, 91, 92. So you're right, it's going on over 30 years besides the Florida team, who did a back-to-back championship. Look, when I watch the game, I have the same assessment as Stat. They just wore them down. You know, UConn has a good team, and Purdue has a good player. Similar to the night before last, with Caitlin and Iowa against South Carolina. You got a good team, and you got a good player. And that's just that. I mean, you know, Dan Hurley, what you got to realize, Murder, is that the walk-ons, the players that's on the bench, I don't care if it was 1 minute, 2 minutes. You know how that goes sometimes. I can't even think of them niggas that was on the bench with us when we was playing ball that was at the end that just happy for that 2.5 minutes because we was blowing niggas out.
I remember them niggas.
Yeah, Vincent or something.
Ron Hill, Vincent.
Yeah.
You know, Pacheco.
Yeah, you know
Travis.
What I'm saying? Yeah, now Trav was getting burned. Don't do that to Trav.
No, don't do that. Yeah, you're right.
Trav was getting some burn. I'm talking about them niggas. Dagger.
Timmy.
Yeah. It's them niggas who be like, you may be up 30 or 20, whatever, and it may be a minute and 20 seconds. Them niggas run to the scores table to get in for that minute and a half because they touch the floor. And every game, Bobby Hurley made sure that, pardon me, I keep saying Bobby Hurley, Danny Hurley made sure that that happened. That's how good UConn was above everybody, that everybody played every game in the tournament. It doesn't matter if it was only a minute or not. A lot of times, close games, you're not going to see a second on the floor. So I think this started out with Jim Calhoun in 1999 when they won their first championship. And he won three. And Kevin Ali won one. And now we got Dan with two. And look, they're the new blue bloods of college basketball as far as men is concerned. So much, much credit to UConn. But as far as the game, it was a foregone conclusion. You know, before the tournament started, a lot of brackets had UConn versus the field. So that means you're picking UConn over 63 teams. This is before the tournament started. And it ended up panning out right. That's how much head and shoulders for us that UConn is above the rest. So they are the creme de la creme of college basketball right now. Congratulations to them, the coaching staff up there. Maurice, he's been pumping them all year. So congratulations to them. But I think Jim Calhoun, kind of like, and I ain't going to say to the extent of Pat Riley, set a culture up there 25 years ago, and it's still standing.
Yeah, that's pretty great. And just thinking about it, Kevin Ollie and Dan Hurley, they both walked in on the first year and got a chip. So it's something going on up there. And to think about it, if he got two in his first couple of years, what does this say about Dan Hurley? Because it took Jim Calhoun a little minute before he can get those kind of chips. He's starting out with two back-to-back.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I give a lot of credit. You know, Dan Hurley has a lot. He might be more superstitious than me. You know, Dan Hurley, super, super duper poised. Don't change his underwear if his team is on a winning streak. He like one of them niggas.
Just a quick, question before we even move on to the next part. So Zach Edey had 37 points for Purdue. Granted, the next, highest scoring player was Braden Smith with 12 points. I'm just thinking about the mindset, right? It's got to be frustrating when you score 37 points and have 10 rebounds and nobody else on your team. Not saying that they didn't try, but it's like, what do you think that disconnect is? Because I kind of compare it to Caitlin Clark's, position. Not saying that her teammates didn't try, but when you score 30 and then everybody else has 12, 6, 16, what do you think that mindset is for him to be in that position?
Well, actually, it's the other team allowing him to do that, in a sense. You know, a coach can get together with his team and say, we're going to let this player get their points, but nobody else is going to score. We're going to let him get all the points because we know that, and it works two ways. Sometimes they say somebody else is going to beat us, and then if there's other players won't get hot if he keeps shooting shots, then you let him get his shots because nobody else is going to get a shot. And by the time they get the ball, they'll be cold and they won't be able to hit a shot. So it depends on what kind of players you have surrounding that kind of player. And you were right in saying the same thing happened with Caitlin because they let her go crazy, but then they knew that nobody else was going to be able to contribute in a significant way enough to beat them.
Yeah. When you're Zach Edey in this particular situation, or Caitlin Clark, and the situation she was in the night before last, the best thing you could do is in your brain. And I've been in situations like this, not to this level that they're on, but I'm just saying that the best player on the team, knowing that you don't have the personnel that you need to win, in your brain before the game, it goes like this. I can beat these niggas by myself. I know I could do it. I know I can beat these niggas by myself. Then you look at halftime, you got 20 and you down 7. You like, I might got these niggas. But after a while, you're just at the point where, like, I did all I can do. You know, I'm from Harlem, so I'm a nigga that's going to be like, I did what I came to do. I'm giving a young Cameron's mindset of after a game. Edie's 22, 21, however old. Young kid, 21, 22-year-old Cameron, and I did what I had to do. No disrespect, not respectfully to everybody else. I went out and did what I had to do. I mean, what else do you want me to do? Caitlin Clark did that to a certain extent at her post-game conference when she was like, you know, 37 rebounds, what are you going to do? You're not going to win like that. You know, that's kind of throwing niggas under the bus a little bit. It was a polite way to throw niggas under the bus. Like, come on, 37 rebounds tonight, you're not going to win like that. It's just not. She did it nicely. But at the end of the day, it just comes to a point in the game where you're like, my nigga, it's nobody going to help. Nobody's ready for this moment. Nobody going to step up. Let me just do what I can do until the game is over. And I don't know Edie's mindset or Caitlin's mindset, but it definitely could get frustrating. But if you know you did all you could do, everything you possibly can do, that's all you can be. That's all you can ask for. Because at the end of the game, pardon me, at the end of the day, if you think about it, look, I said this, that's why I was so adamant about South Carolina winning. Pardon me, the females I'm talking about the other night, because it was like, yo, one person cannot just run through this. Yeah. This is just getting out of hand at this point. We know that she may have one other good teammate a night, and that's not consistent. One person may play good one night, another person may play good another night, but if she don't get 25, we're not winning. Minimum, I'm talking about. So I just think best thing you could do is go out on your shield, especially if it's your last year. And I think that Caitlin and Zach did that. So I want to give them both credit and both handling the loss with a lot of dignity, a lot of dignity and a lot of class. Because I seen both post game interviews. And listen, man, these kids grow up and they're mature and they know what they got on their plate. Because me personally, I would have been talking crazy. Just and I wouldn't have said no names, but it would have just been like, yo, fuck you want me to do? You know, all this at the stand murder.
Yeah.
Fuck is you talking? Like, yo, what you want me to do? All like one of them. So yo, so let me ask you this, Mr. Giles. When they went on an 8-0 run, what were you thinking? Ask this nigga. He was gone, the nigga. Ask him. Yeah.
His man had 20. His man.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, when I was guarding at 8, he had 8. Yeah. I did what I was supposed to do.
Yeah, my assignment was Phil. I don't know if you asking me them type of questions for all that's coming at my post game. So I want to commend them for their matureness and their dignity, because I don't know what a 21-year-old Cam would have said at the podium after scoring 37-30 and the rest of the team didn't meet their requirements. So big shout out to them for keeping their composure.
Yeah, and definitely shout out to Zach. I mean, I'm interested in what his placement is going to be, because the draft is coming up at the end of June. So he did have a good game, but also overall shout out to UConn because they are the champs. So moving along.
Yeah, real quick, and shout out to Zach Edey. We got to realize too, Murder. Yeah. He just started playing basketball 10 years ago. You know, that's relatively late for the person to be the National Player of the Year. Probably going to be 2 times in a row this year as well. So, you know, when you're a good basketball player, football player, a lot of times boxer, whatever, you start playing these sports at 6, 7 years old, 8, 9, 10 years old. For him to just start playing 9, 10 years ago as a 12, 13-year-old, it's amazing, man. It's amazing where he's at. I mean, don't get it fucked up. He's He's tall as fuck, but he got some skill with him.
And this might be the worst draft. They're saying this might be the worst draft ever. So he should go really high. You notice we're not even talking about who's going first, second, or third this year. Like, to go along with Cam talking about, we don't know, you don't know 10 players in the NCAAs. So just imagine how the draft is going to be unless they got some people coming from overseas.
So also on the topic of men's college basketball, Kentucky's coach John Calipari will be the new coach for Arkansas. He's been the head coach since 2009. What do you guys think about him in Kentucky? Parting ways.
He's going to Arkansas?
Yeah.
I thought he had a lifetime contract with Kentucky. What is going on here? I don't know about this. You know, I know down in Arizona, what's that, Arkansas, Kareem Reed was down there, killer. So I guess Kareem Reed and them are out now if Calipari is coming there. Or do you think he keeps them? You think he's out?
I don't think Kareem was on the coaching staff, though.
Oh.
I think he was on site with some kids, with some young kids in Arkansas around the university. I'm not sure, though, around the university. I don't know if he's still doing that, but I know he was down there trying to get – I don't believe it was college students. It was high school or middle school students. But I hope not. I mean, I don't want nobody to lose their job, especially somebody
Calipari
I know.
Calipari put him on a team and help him bring all this talent from Arkansas. I just think that's kind of – that's kind of different, though, to leave Kentucky to go coach at Arkansas. Not that Arkansas is not a story program, but it's not Kentucky. It's not Kentucky. But I think he made Kentucky because he went there. Because before that, Kentucky was always lit. Remember Mashburn and all of them, man? Kentucky been lit.
Yeah, Kentucky, they was the highest blue blood college team for a long time.
I thought he signed for like 80 something million, and 30 million of it was supposed to be like a buyout north of 30 million just to, if he leave there on his terms or something to that effect. So it's something going on. You know how you say Killer Moore Pauls is going to come out, but he didn't just wake up and say, I want to leave Kentucky. I know that much. And no disrespect to him, he's been a hell of a coach and been able to do a lot of things with the talent, and getting people to come there for 1 year has always been his motto, that anybody that come here, you should be ready to go to the NBA within 1 year. And I know we got DeJuan Wagner's son down there, and I guess he's leaving this year, but they had a point guard that was really, he was really serious this year. I got to get his name. He stole a show from DeJuan Wagner, but they still didn't have much postseason win. I think in the last couple of years, they got like one or two wins in the last couple of years. So they had to get Calipari out of there, and he know the writing was on the wall. So he just said, start looking for his other options.
Yeah, Arkansas is definitely not Kentucky, but Arkansas is not a bad university to go to. I think they need to be rejuvenized. I think that a lot of kids don't know how good of a program it was for basketball in the 90s, and they kind of was forgot about because they wasn't getting a lot of recruits. But it's definitely not Kentucky as far as basketball concerned. But the one thing about John Calipari, he takes that bullshit magic with him wherever he goes. That's one thing about him. He's a salesman. He's a salesman. He knows how to sell whatever product he's pitching. He's the nigga Leonardo DiCaprio and Catch Me If You Can, man. You know, that nigga's good. So, at the end of the day, I think it's decent for both programs. I think Arkansas needs rejuvenation, a bolt of energy, so to speak. And Kentucky, it's just, look, Kentucky don't play. Kentucky just don't play, bro. when it comes to basketball. You know, and I was making some statements earlier about cities that don't have professional teams. Kentucky take that shit to the heart. Yeah. Louisville and Kentucky fans have some wild beef, bro. And to be honest with you, maybe the worst beef in college sports. And not when I say worst, I don't mean bad. I mean most tension. You know, you always got UNC and Duke, and you might got Ohio State and Michigan. This Kentucky Louisville rivalry. See, both teams haven't really been excelled in basketball in a while. Yeah. But these people hate each other. It isn't just the sports fans. It's almost Crips and Bloods. They wear red in Louisville. They wear blue. I'm talking about old people, 70-year-old people fighting each other about their team. So Kentucky don't play. Even when Tubby Smith was there, they ran Tubby Smith out of town. He wasn't winning. Graffiti wasn't winning. Graffiti on his house. Talking about they going to blow his house up. All type of shit. And then, you know, a nigga like me, when I was watching this in real time years and years and years ago, I'm like, yo, get out of there. You know, Murder, what you said when you was in North Dakota? What's the name of Scarecrows and Cornfields? Get out of here. Get out of there. You got, once a nigga threatened to burn your house down in Kentucky, leave, nigga.
Yeah.
once you come home, and there's graffiti on your door, and niggas is like, yo,
yeah,
you better win, you get home and it should say win or else on your door. Like, them niggas don't play. And to be totally honest with you, I believe John Calipari lasted this long because of the shit that he sells. And I ain't gonna say, I don't mean it in a bad way, that's how I say shit. Yo, I'm telling you next year, I'm telling you, look who we gonna get. I promise you, nigga, this next year, nigga.
If you thought this was something, all that, exactly.
So, it's been a long time. They've been the one Final Four, since 2011. I think that's the year they won. That's only one championship since he's been there. When you get there, when you get John Calipari as a name. Maybe not with NIL and people leaving so rapidly that you think that name comes with championships, and it doesn't or hasn't come with championships when it pertains to Kentucky. Now, you can sit there and look at Calipari's record and say, yo, look, I got 35 first-round draft picks. 35 since he's been there. You know, you got to think about John Wall, you got to think about DeMarcus Cousins. You got to think about Anthony Davis. You got to think about SGA. You got to think about all these people that came through Kentucky that's first round picks in the NBA. But Kentucky fans says, what is that doing for us? We feel you, but where's the banners? I mean, we're supposed to be looking up. Pause. Yeah. At the banners. So on Coach Cal's record, it looks, look, everybody that come through here, fuck with me, and they going pro. So when he's pitching that to a kid, that's great for a kid that's pursuing to get to the NBA. As the University of Kentucky, they like, that's nice. I dig it. But what are we getting out of it? And I just think that it wasn't enough Final Four appearances. It wasn't enough tournament wins. Then when they lost to that team this year in the first round and nobody heard of, that was definitely it for John Calipari. But at the end of the day, you got to think about it. When you want to get rid of, and I'm not talking about athletic directors or team president or school presidents, et cetera, because sometimes they don't want to get rid of the coach when you're not winning. The pressure comes from the fans. And what are y'all going to do? And the boosters and everybody else.
Yeah.
And you don't win. So now you're going to put pressure on the coach. So the question is, okay, Kentucky, you got rid of John Calipari. Who do you, or they agreed to split ways, whatever the understanding was. Who are y'all going to get? Who are you going to get? And then at the end of the day, you got to think about it. Even though Kentucky's a prestigious program, if you got somebody else that's that's a great coach, maybe Billy Donovan or somebody who's sending it home, or somebody who's coaching the university, like the coach for, I heard them talking about maybe the coach for the University of Alabama. Look, if they're getting a decent check and they're doing well where they're at, why leave the comfort of doing well where you're at to go put that stress on the table for $100,000 more? $100,000 more. Yo, listen, bro, I'm not capping, no kizzy. They run you out of town as a coach if you don't win, audience. Go Google Tubby Smith shit. They ran him out. Nigga, I thought I was looking at a scene out of Malcolm X when they threatened to burn a nigga down. What, they going to lynch him next? They don't play about that basketball shit out there, bro.
He had his son playing. His son was on the team. Nigga's like, both gotta go.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of them joints. Oh, niggas doing family shit, man. All right, nigga, this ain't about us no more. This is about the, all right, get the fuck out of town. And I believe John Calipari lasted as long as he did because he's John Calipari. But I think this could be a decent start for both John Calipari and Kentucky. But it's all about who Kentucky's going to get.
Mm-hmm. And I did want to add, so yeah, Kentucky hasn't even been to a Final Four since 2015, which is weird to think that 2015 is like 9 years ago. It doesn't seem like it. It is. And in his situation, right, this is kind of like my own take. I felt like he maybe wanted to put himself in a new situation before they handled it for him, because it was starting to look like, okay, way too long. You're going to get snipped soon. So he said, you know what? I'm going to go to Arkansas, because I think a lot of the discussion right now is, why would he go to another school in the SEC? Like, that's the ops. Like, you just were here. Now you're going to Arkansas. You know, we play Arkansas. Why would you go there? I think the only reason why it came down to that point is because it was looking like, hey, he might get the boot soon. And you never want to get the boot. You rather just put on the boots yourself.
So leave on your own terms. Yeah.
That's what I feel like happened. That's my take. But I guess more will unfold, you know, as the story kind of comes out more. But that's what I think is going on. So that's crazy. Well, on that note, we're going to go to break. And when we return, we will discuss the Lakers. Don't go anywhere. She called this thing about toxic. 4 years and counting. Got you feeling like an option. Maybe I'm my own problem, babe. She tired of hearing, I don't know. My stubborn in me won't fall. Dealing with this thing called trust. But she really thinking about she wanna be free. Welcome back. Now let's get into our Underdog Fantasy picks of the day. Tonight, the Clippers will play the Suns. Underdog Fantasy has Kevin Durant at 25.5 points. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Higher.
Hey, Cam.
The Suns playing who?
The Clippers.
Higher.
Hey, Devin Booker is at 7.5 first quarter points. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
I'm going to go to Mace first, because Mace, this is man, and I ain't been hearing nothing, man. You know what I'm saying? This is man. Like, and I like Devin Booker, but Mace is Devin Booker. Like,
yeah, you know, Book is family, man.
What's Book going on?
Family. I got to pray for him. I got to pray for his shot selection.
All right, because Sunday,
something
right,
ain't man. Clicking. I don't know. It could be the you know, that K family. I can't say it on the air, but the K family.
Dude, the K's.
The K's
and the J's.
The KKK. You know?
The K's and the J's, man.
Nah, yeah. So what you think? Gilly gonna have 7?
He need to, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to look, because they look same way that they depend on you. Cole Cam is dependent on me. That's why I tried to.
Yeah, I don't just to say anything.
Yeah, I just, that's why I tried to. I deferred to you first because I thought you might have more insight on this than I do, because I don't know what's going on.
If they're playing the Clippers, he's going to need to have 8 points. He's going to need to be higher. He needs to be higher, but it will be higher is another question. I can see him getting 8 points. Go higher, Cold Cam.
I'm gonna go with, listen, audience. I'm going with Mace on this because
Yeah.
you know him and he got him and Dev. Dev is my man too. Don't get it fucked up. But Mace act like he know him. So I thought, you know, every time I try and be inquisitive about where you know him from, he reminds me we ain't been speaking for mad years. So don't question him about certain things. So at the end of the day, if Mace say hi on this one, I'm going high on this one because,
yeah.
you know, I can't question him on certain things because I was absent for a while. Every time I ask him, son, it seems like some shit went on in the time he wasn't speaking. So if Mace says higher, we going higher.
Yeah, you got to think what you calling them are not playing, right? He definitely should have that because I don't think Paul George and Kawhi both are playing. Are they both playing?
Paul George is supposed to be in this one.
Yeah. So
that brings us to our next one. Paul George is at 3.5 assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
I'm going to go higher.
Higher.
Okay. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and you can make your picks too. So, got to talk about.
Wait. So, Kawhi is not playing?
Let me check.
Kawhi hasn't been playing. He's been hurt. I think they're resting him for the playoffs. But yeah. I'll tell you this, Murder.
That's why I say he's going to have 8 because they're not going to have another person to guard. They guard both of them. Somebody going to have to guard KD. Somebody, you know, it won't be enough wing support.
I'll tell you this, Murder. Phoenix is in the 6th slot at a tie with New Orleans. That's in 7th spot. They have the same exact record. The only reason that Phoenix is in 6 is because of the head-to-head record with New Orleans. So they're in 6. But they're lost from the play-in. Like, the Phoenix got 3-4 more games. Every single game counts. Every last game. And to be honest with you, they're only 2 games out of 4th place. Like, the third, even with OKC, but OKC is going to be solidified. I'm going to say 4th through 7 is really, yeah. really close. Really,
That's
really
what
close.
I'm saying. So if they're 4, who would they be playing?
If who's 4? The
Clippers?
If
the Clippers and the Suns might be playing each other in the playoffs.
It's possible. Like if everything was finished today, right now, this very second as it stands, well, what's even better to me, honestly, is the first round, if everything was said and done right now today, the Clippers would be playing Dallas right now today. That's a crazy first round. That is a goodie. So, look, man.
Kyrie versus Harden is a...
Yeah, it's good. That would be a goodie. Because a lot of people don't know, and I don't know this for a fact, but Kyrie, you know, Kyrie, he doesn't always express it, but you can look in his face pause, and he also got that. Nobody really could fuck with me out here, really, really like yeah. that. No, like
really
like,
out here by can, myself, you know what
yeah,
I'm
yeah, saying? Yeah, yeah. I try to play a team game, but it's really me. And I remember years and years ago when he first got to the NBA and he wanted to play Kobe Bryant one-on-one at the Olympic yeah. practice. You ever seen that
yeah,
tape,
Murder? Yeah, I saw that.
And Kobe thought he was out of his mind, but he was dead
serious.
Ass.
That was New York.
Yeah,
nah,
he was
dead. You could play one-on-one right now.
Yeah, right now. Like, we're not even joking. Then he went and was shaking everybody. Like, listen, man, Kyrie is one of them ones, man, and
oh yeah,
of course he.
Westbrook and them through that practice.
Yeah, through that practice, yeah, everybody reaching. Yeah, Kobe running all crazy up the court, reaching. So, listen, man, Kyrie, Ramadan Reed, it's Ramadan almost over too. Listen, yeah. Be careful, man. Be careful out there, y'all players, man, because a quiet assassin is dangerous. Any assassin is dangerous, but a quiet Kyrie under the radar, y'all may not have been paying attention to what he's doing this year, but it's been amazing.
Yeah, they said he practiced in linen pants and an apron.
Whatever gonna work, baby. Whatever gonna work,
he's
man.
Cooking.
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, I get you, chef, chefery.
Yeah, Chef Ree, put
Yeah,
your order in.
man.
And then to answer your question, Mace, Kawhi is expected to return, like Cam said, right before the playoffs, but he still has some left knee soreness and inflammation. So we will see what happens.
This is another one of those, the process for real. It's Philly and the Sixers. The Sixers too. Because this thing with Kawhi, all this, what they call it,
The Clippers.
yeah. This low management, whatever, pause. It's time for them to prove that works.
Well, the thing about it is, we're never going to really know the truth when it comes to Kyrie and the Clippers organization, because last year they said it was right knee soreness. Year before that, something with the right knee. And then he ended up having to get surgery. It wasn't just soreness. They're never giving us a full detailed report when it comes to Kyrie's injuries. So let's just pray as basketball fans that it is just soreness and nothing more serious, because if it's up to the Clippers to tell us what's going on, they're going to lie. That's just that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's discuss the Lakers. They had their ninth win in the past 11 games. Granted, they lost to the Timberwolves the other night, but this is the best position they've been in since December 29th. Just in general, do you guys have confidence in the Lakers right now as a team because of their wins?
Oh, the Lakers are going to the playoffs. They're definitely going to be in the playoffs. I'm gonna go on a record. I just think they got too much. They got LeBron has too much pride to make sure to let them not be in the playoffs. And I when it comes down to one game, I think Killer said it earlier in the season. If it comes down to one game, you gotta go with LeBron. If it's only one game, if it's a play-in game, anything like that, of course, he gonna get the win because he understand the seriousness of it. And I think that's part of the mentality that's missing from a lot of people in the NBA, is that they don't understand timing and that when things have to happen, they have to happen without excuse. And I think that's what separates the greats from good players. Good players can do it, but not when it's requested. Like, no, we need 40 right now, today. Can you get 40? Oh, nah, let me warm up. No, some people can just set their mind and come in and do what's necessary. False. And I think that's clearly what separates LeBron from the other players in that regard. He does get that.
Yeah, I agree. When it's a one game scenario,
Yeah.
it's just hard right now looking at the standards, man. This is just really rough, man, for me anyway. Because it's like, yo, right now, currently standing, the Lakers are in ninth place with a half a game behind Sacramento. Me personally, I would love to see the Lakers, when it's all said and done, bump up to the 8 seed, Sacramento go down to that 9th seed, me personally. Because even if the Lakers are 8th, Golden State is in 10th, they both can make the playoffs if they win one game. The Lakers and Golden State. Golden State will have to
Yeah.
win two. And the way it's constructed right this very, very, very moment is that the Lakers will have to play Golden State, which means one of them are going home. And that means there's either going to be no LeBron in the playoffs or no Steph Curry in the playoffs for the rest of the playoffs. And that's just the way it is. Look, time goes on, teams get better, other teams fall off, et cetera, et cetera. But for Cameron, as a fan, currently, today, 2024, April, whatever, I would like to see Golden State and the Lakers in the playoffs. And as of right now, that won't happen. So we got 3 games to see if the Lakers could move up to that 8th seed and put Sacramento underneath them, so possibly both teams could be in the playoffs. As far as moving past the playoffs, it's tough, man. Because look, we got to think about this. As good as Memphis was last year,
Yeah.
terrific. The year before that too, you know, they we is argue you can sit there and argue and say Memphis might have went to the championship if Jordan Poole didn't hurt Ja Morant. You know, Ja Morant was up 2-1 Memphis that is pardon me. And Ja Morant got hurt and Golden State goes on to win the championship. Last year, and he's like, okay, Memphis, this they revenge year. And who takes them out? The Lakers. So you it's hard to sit there and sit and say, I don't know, man. Minnesota been looking good all year, but LeBron may be like, Rudy Gobert, Ant-Man, I know y'all niggas. I mean, not Ant-Man, Rudy Gobert and Carl Anthony Towns, I know y'all niggas. Okay, this new nigga, we gonna figure out how to contain this Ant-Man nigga. I know y'all niggas, and y'all niggas know me. You get what I'm saying? To where, if you play an OKC, they may not give a fuck about what LeBron and the Lakers bring to the table. Another thing about the game the other night with the Lakers, Anthony Davis goes out in the first quarter because he gets swiped in the face again. In the first quarter, and LeBron already wasn't playing. Like, yo, LeBron is taking off because he knows what's coming next, pause, when it comes to the playoffs. So I don't even mind LeBron missing these last couple games or taking a game off here or there when it's only a few games left because he knows what he got to get ready to do. But when you got Anthony Davis as the second player and he gets swiped across the face in the first quarter and doesn't come back, it just doesn't scream good things for me with the Lakers. And the Lakers definitely, as much as we talk shit about Anthony Davis, they need him. LeBron can't do it, though. LeBron could get 30, 35, 40, maybe 45, 50 if he needed to. But that's not going to translate into wins.
Does he wear contacts? Maybe he lost his contact.
Murder, get an extra pair. I'm tired of you bailing niggas out all week. yo, you in the NBA have 3 pair of contacts. Nigga, get some goggles, nigga. The fuck you talking about, yo? I know we're not blaming this on the contact.
I was trolling. Maybe he lost his contact.
Yeah, maybe, man. I don't know. But playoffs coming up, and this got to be nerve-wracking as for a Laker fan.
I'm curious, how do you guys feel about, you know, the Kings and the Pelicans being ahead of the Lakers right now?
I want to see the Pelicans in the playoffs. I'm ready to see what Paul's with what Zion them look like, and because now they're not babies no more, you know. They've been in the league a few years. It's time to see what that's all cracked out to be with him and Ingram and the other people that they have down there, McCollum. I think they got a good trio pause when it comes to the playoffs that could be really dangerous if they come to play and they keep their minds off partying. If they keep their minds off partying and girls in the in the front row, they don't have the baddies in the front row, they might be able to get out of the first round. That's what I'm thinking.
You said the Kings and the Pelicans?
Yeah.
The Pelicans, look, they didn't draft Zion to not make the playoffs. You know, this was what they're picking them up for, Zion. Zion was supposed to be one of these generational talents. Explosive, and they've predicted him kind of like LeBron James. That's why I believe they're going so hard with Wimby, because not saying that Zion isn't good, but he ain't LeBron James. When LeBron James came to the NBA, they said, well, let's move on to Wimby. Let's see if he could be the new face or the new person or whatever. I think he's playing good this year, very good, considering his injury history the past few years. But is he one of them players that could take his team to the next level? That has yet to be determined. I'm not sure. Ingram is good. McCullough's good. They got a good core down there. I'm not mad at them. I'm more disappointed in the Sacramento Kings, to be totally honest with you. Because Sacramento last year was up on Golden State, and it looked like they could possibly beat Golden State in the playoffs, and Steph Curry put an end to it. So I said to myself,
They was hitting the button.
Yeah, they was a game away. They was a few minutes away from going to the second round. So when I see their record this year, because at the end of the season last year when they lost, I said, they're going to be ready next year. They're going to be ready. And it was looking like that at points during the season, but they just kind of kept slipping and slipping and slipping to the point that now we're talking about them in the play-in instead of the playoffs. So I'm not shocked about either one of them. This is kind of where they should be right now. To me, even more Sacramento because of the success they had last season. And it's just not translating this year. We'll see what happens in the play in the playoffs.
And yeah, and another thing about Sacramento, I remember we was talking about basketball probably a few weeks ago, and I was talking about how when the first year a person is playing good, that the next year people start zooming in on them, and that's why they're not the same type of player, because now you're on our radar for what you do. And I think that's what happened to the guards when it came to Sacramento, because it seemed like Fox was going crazy last year and Monk as well. But this year it seemed like they kind of figured Monk out a little bit on that team.
Right.
Well, yeah, let me ask you this, Mace. It's the four teams left in the play-in.
Yeah.
And it's only two teams that could go.
Yeah.
Who do you want to see in the playoffs right now? I'm going to name the four teams, and you can only pick two of them.
All right.
It's New Orleans, it's Sacramento, it's the Lakers, and Golden State. Who do you want in the playoffs?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's what's going on right now.
Yeah, I definitely. It's sad because I'm from Title Town, so I want to see Steph and them there, but I'm ready to give up. I'm not gonna lie, and that's a lot coming from Title Town. But it don't seem like Steve Kerr, everybody got their money. Klay going to Orlando. Draymond going back to the Pistons. I don't know what they're doing over there. I'm trying to motivate them, you know? You know, sometimes somebody got to talk crazy to make you remind yourself you better start playing. Niggas is talking crazy. They said, Klay, you going to Orlando. They said, Draymond going back to Detroit. Yeah, start playing. Steph can't carry all y'all niggas, man. Yo, nah, but for real, I don't want to see the Lakers because Anthony Davis just I don't think they really come into play like that. I think other than trying to get Bronny James on the Lakers, I don't think they really playing for nothing. They're not playing for the championship, so. And you know when everybody is dialed in. This team is not dialed in. So I'm going to go with New Orleans because I definitely want to see what Zion them look like in the playoffs. I really want to see that. And put the Lakers in it, Bron, because we want Bronny to be in the league. So Lakers and the Pelicans, man. Gotta go with the young boy. Gotta get a young boy a shot. You gotta get his shot. I don't care. Is it nepotism or not? He gotta get his shot. It's how it goes. It's no different than if, you know, I could put my son in something, I would do it. So
yeah. I'm gonna go. If I gotta pick out of these four teams, I'm going with Golden State.
Why, killer? They're not gonna come to play. Steve Kerr got his bag.
Bro, I asked you an opinionated question. It was your opinion, that was my opinion. It wasn't about who's coming to play. The question was, who would you like to see? That was the question.
You could have said, why do you want to see them niggas? Why do you want to see Stephen Curry?
I don't care. That's exactly why. Matt, that's exactly why. That I don't know what magic that kid got in the playoff. We talk about playoff Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about no damn playoff Steph Curry.
What does Steph take them to the chip? What does Steph take them to the chip?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say. We always talk about playoff niggas and this first. Playoff Steph is dangerous, man. Listen, bro, if there's anybody I want to see play after Kyrie Irving, if we're talking about entertainment value, my entertainment value right now, today, just off pure entertainment, not skill wise, not best player, not et cetera, is Kyrie Irving, probably Ant-Man and Steph Curry right now, if I want to get my dollar, if I want to get every bang pause for my buck. Those are the three. Steph Curry does amazing shit, bro. And for me not to see that in the playoffs, or at least him have a chance in the playoffs, I'm going to miss that. I'm not going to say it, act like I'm not going to miss that.
So I'm definitely going to miss that. So you're going Steph Curry and who else? You going Golden State and who else? Because I could go with that. I could go with that. Golden State and the Pelicans. Or you going to say LeBron? I would say Golden State and the Pelicans. That's fire.
I'm gonna go Golden State and the Lakers.
Oh,
I'm gonna say that. Murder, why you mad at my opinion?
Yo, you don't wanna see Zion. You don't wanna see what Zion do in the playoffs?
Yeah, but Zion's subject to get hurt. Zion and nigga,
that's better than
play the
losing
first.
Your contact.
This is true, but one thing we know about LeBron too, he's not going to short us. Anthony Davis may short us. Other niggas may short us. One thing about LeBron, like it, love him, hate it, whatever. When it comes to the playoffs, early in his career, he may have shied away from a few moments he should have stepped up on, et cetera, et cetera. He's not going to short us. Secondly, Murder, we got to go for niggas like LeBron, whether you like LeBron or don't like LeBron or anything else.
No, I he said closer. I'm fine with LeBron. He gotta play with his son next year.
No, but that don't mean that ain't got nothing to do with the playoffs for this year. That wasn't the question. I was just saying that he close to our age, bro, out here doing this shit, man. You gotta root for a nigga your age almost.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, the reason why I'm saying this is because if they don't make the playoffs, then the spill of wherever my son goes becomes a different conversation. If you still win,
okay, I got you.
Then it's like, yo, wherever I go, nigga, drive my son if you want me to be there. But if y'all not winning, it's like, bro, I don't know if I want either one of y'all.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
You know, niggas forget quick. They put AI on the Pistons. Niggas forget fast.
Yeah, you ain't lying. That's a great point. But to your point, actually, if he does win, that gives him more leverage to be like, grab my son.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So then we could go with the Lakers on that.
But you didn't pick the Lakers.
I didn't, but I'm subject to change. It's subject to change.
Well, thank you. Okay,
crazy.
Cool.
Thank you. Started out picking the Lakers. You said put them in there. Then you took
them. Yeah, put the Lakers in there. I mean, Savannah got my birthday, so it's...
I like storylines for me. A lot of songs are the storyline. And to me, and no disrespect, listen, you gotta get older, you gotta play games, you gotta go through the league to create a storyline. And listen, if it ended up being Sacramento and New Orleans and the Lakers and Golden State was out, I'm not mad at it. I'm very privy to looking at what these kids are gonna do in the playoffs. Who's going to step up, who's not. I'm not against it, but if we're asking personal preference. That's just my personal preference.
Nah, that'd be dope.
Well, in the comments, let us know who you guys would choose, but that is all the time that we have for today. Thanks for watching, and as always, it is what it is. Suicide. Suicide. Next. Like when they doing them 2 for 5.